It's a Tuesday. Time now for the Dial-A-Doc program with FHN, the sponsored by and brought to you by FHN. Dr. Roland Tolliver is back with us again today. Hey, Dr. Tolliver, good to talk to you again. Good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning, Scott. How are you on this warm day?
Oh, boy, tell you what. Let's talk about what maybe people are going to shy away from today, but get out walking. I think that, you want to talk a little bit about that and how important foot health, of course, obviously is. Talk a little bit about foot health.
Well, basically, foot health, Scott, is taking care of your feet, very simply. But, the thing is that the feet are the foundation, to a lot of what we do. I mean, we, need our feet to be able to get around, to stand, to work, to play, whatever it happens to be. And some of the things that we need to pay attention to are that the feet can also be kind of the, they call the eyes the window to the soles. Well, sometimes the soles of the feet are the windows to what's going on in your body. Anything from joint stiffness that could indicate arthritis to numbness and tingling or a slow healing wound that could indicate possible diabetes. Swelling could be indications of kidney disease, heart disease, maybe high blood pressure. And primarily what we want to make sure is that we have good foot health because that is an indicator of our overall general health.
Tell us a little bit about, I think you mentioned some of them already, but what are some of the more common problems that you see that people have with their feet?
Well, the most common problems we're going to see typically are going to be things like arthritis. We can see things like gout, diabetes with all of the complications that can come to the feet with that. Sprains, strains, and fractures are all possibilities in addition to things that are more hereditary like bunions and hammer toes. One of the most common things that we see this time of the year is what's called plantar fasciitis or commonly known as heel spur syndrome. We get people that have been maybe sedentary throughout much of the winter months. The warm weather rolls around. They start to get out. They want to start to do more. We have our weekend warriors that all of a sudden, they want to go out and run 5 miles when they haven't run any during the winter, and they get primarily heel pain, which is just basically a strain on the ligament that attaches from the heel bone to the ball of the foot. And, being on hard surfaces like cement can contribute to that as well.
What about some of the items that you mentioned in terms of the ailments? Some of this can be treated at home. Talk about that.
There are certain things that can be treated at home. I mean, if it's a mild sprain, if it's basic injury that, maybe you stubbed your toe or something, those are things that, unless it's really drastic, I mean, they don't usually need, medical care or attention. On the other hand, we have patients that oftentimes they'll think they just have a sprain, and because they can walk on it or because they still have motion, they think that there's nothing wrong. And just in the last few weeks here, we've had like 3 or 4 fifth metatarsal fractures because people thought it was just a sprain, and they come in and they've actually got a fracture of what is called their fifth metatarsal, which is the bone on the outside of the foot, which sometimes even necessitates surgery to repair that. The general overall muscle aches and pains, things like that, typically nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, ice, rest, all those can be, usually taken care of at home. But anything that lingers for more than, 5 to 7 days, or if there's an acute amount of pain that's not controlled by, the rest and elevation and ice, our basic RICE, format, which is rest, ice, compression, and elevation, anything like that really needs to be checked out to make sure that it's not something more significant. As I tell people, you can't tell you had high blood pressure if you don't, take your blood pressure, and you can't tell if you have a fracture or a more significant injury if you don't get an x-ray or, MRI or whatever it would happen to be.
We're talking to Dr. Roland Tolliver, podiatrist at FHN. Many people don't know that a couple things about Dr. Tolliver is, first of all, he was a DJ, was in radio in college. That I remember that when we talked briefly. But the other thing that I find interesting as well is that you used to sell shoes as well. So tell us about the best types of shoes and what make good walking shoes now for the summer.
You've done your homework. Yes, I did actually for a few years when I was in podiatry school. I worked in an athletic shoe store and probably learned as much there about shoes and feet as I did in some of my classes. But some of the things we want to look for. Number one, you always want to make sure that your shoes fit comfortably in the store. If they don't feel comfortable in the store, they're not going to break in. Your feet will break in before your shoes do. I've seen too many people come in thinking that, you know, the shoes would break in. They end up with blisters. They end up with ulcers. They end up with, you know, chronic foot pain, you know, all things that could have been avoided. Second thing is you want to make sure when you fit your shoes that you have at least a thumbnail's length between the end of your longest toe, which is not always your big toe. For a lot of people, it's your second toe, and the end of your shoe. You always want to fit to the larger of the 2 feet. You know, it's nobody is exactly equilateral or the same from one side to the other. Most often somebody has, you know, our feet are slightly larger on one side than the other. You want to get fitted during the end of the day because our feet tend to swell as we're on them throughout the day. And if we go in first thing in the morning, our feet are going to be smaller than they will be at the end of the day as we continue to stand, walk, work, and, you know, just in general, you know, the gravity tends to pull fluid down, so our feet will tend to swell slightly. Not for everybody, but for most people, that is the case. The other things are that you want to make sure that the shoe fits across the widest part of your foot, which is from the bone right behind your big toe to the bone right behind your little toe. And the last thing is you want to make sure that the foot insole of the shoe actually fits where the arch of your foot is. If it feels like it's too far forward or too far back, the shoe is not a good fit. I know in our self-serve society, you know, a lot of people just go into the store, they try on their shoes, or they use a little wooden piece of measurement that they have there, which is a basically a type of a Brannock device, which is a foot measuring device, or they use the little diagrams on the floor to kind of get an idea of what size their foot is. But if you are having any concerns, best to go see somebody that can actually measure a foot and make sure that the shoe is a proper fit for you.
And what about folks who try to break in shoes? Maybe they, you know, they like the shoe a lot, but then they end up with blisters. The shoe, I assume you're going to tell us that the shoe should fit from the very beginning. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, if the shoe's not comfortable in the store, it's not going to be comfortable at home. Don't think that it's going to break in. I mean, you know, the materials in the past, you know, when it was more of an all leather type of shoe, sometimes those would stretch a little bit with the foot, but for the most part, they're not going to give much anymore. The materials that are used nowadays, you know, I mean, there's so many different materials, you know, the mesh materials, the cloth materials, you know, even this type of leather that is used now, it is a synthetic type of leather, and those will not necessarily stretch with your foot. I've seen too many people come in with shoes that look like they've been through a wood chipper because, you know, they've got different holes in them, and, you know, they're just worn significantly because people are either not wearing the proper fit or they've worn them much too long. A rule of thumb, so to speak, for gym shoes is that the midsole of the gym shoes typically, which can be used for walking shoes as well, more of an athletic style shoe. You know, a running shoe will work well for walking as well as a walking shoe. A tennis style shoe that's flatter on the bottom will not work well for long-term walking because it's made for side-to-side stability and not for forward walking type of ambulation or activity. So, but the thing is that with the midsole of the regular athletic shoe, the material breaks down within about 18 months. So if your shoes are not, or even if they're sitting in the closet, that half-life of that shoe is really not going to give you adequate shock absorption if you leave it on for, or wait too long to wear it, or if you've worn it, you know, much past, say, 500 miles on walking with your shoes. I mean, we got to consider, I mean, when we walk, you know, even by the time we're age 50, we've put on about 75,000 miles on our feet. That's a lot of stress. And each step we take is anywhere between 2.5 to 4 times our body weight. So that's, you know, every pound that we, you know, walk, you know, every pound that we weigh, I mean, is, you know, is a lot of stress on our feet for, you know, the amount of, tension that is put on them and overall the amount of abuse that they can take.
What about this time of year? Sandals and flip-flops. Tell us about that.
I'm not a huge fan of flip-flops. They are probably one of the number one reasons I get people that come in with pain in this time of the year, because they've gone from, you know, a good supportive shoe throughout the winter to a flip-flop that really, you know, mostly does not offer much in the way of support. You know, if you're going to get a flip-flop, get a good quality flip-flop, you know, and wear them, you know, for short periods of time. We want to make sure that they're not bending from end to end. You know, we don't want to go out and spend $5 on a pair of flip-flops. If, you know, they're going to probably cost you a good $30 to $40 for a higher quality. We want something that's probably made out of a more, maybe a softer leather, something that's firmer and that, you know, you can wear primarily like around the pool or for short periods of time around the house. Whatever you do, please don't cut your grass wearing flip-flops. We've had a number of injuries like that that do not turn out well. So, you know, you want your toes covered and you want them in a good solid shoe if you're cutting your grass.
What about going barefoot this summer? What about barefoot?
Barefoot is fine for short periods of time. Again, you know, if you're diabetic, you don't want to go around barefoot, especially if you have neuropathy, because you can't feel, you know, what the surface is like. I mean, it's too easy to step on something, a piece of glass, a splinter, anything like that. I mean, even for somebody with, you know, without neuropathy, without diabetes, you know, trying to step on, you know, surfaces, you know, nowadays. I mean, in the past, you know, we didn't have as much in the way of garbage, unfortunately, around our streets and around our sidewalks. You know, if you're around the house and you're inside the house, I mean, walking barefoot is fine. You know, it's fine for babies to walk around barefoot. I actually encourage that, you know, because we want them to build up their muscle strength and to get their proprioception, meaning that, you know, they can kind of feel the surfaces, they adapt to the surfaces and gives them a little bit greater stability. You know, if you're putting them in too rigid of a shoe, yes, it may allow them to walk a little bit more, but then their muscles don't develop properly.
Speaking of kids, what about children's shoes? Any advice on that?
Yeah, several things. One, you want to make sure that you're always checking the size and the fit for them. Children's feet grow at a very rapid rate, and especially when they're infants to toddlers, you know, and even young children. You know, they can grow out of shoes every few months, possibly. You don't want to wear hand-me-down shoes because it will have the wear pattern from the previous owner of the shoes. You want to make sure you're examining the soles of the shoes. If they're wearing out too much on the outside or the inside of the shoe, that is an indication that they might be might need some attention, possibly even inserts in their shoes to kind of balance their foot. Take your child shoe shopping. You know, don't, you know, this is one time I say don't buy them over the, you know, online. You want to make sure when you take your child in that the shoes actually fit when you're putting them on. And you always, as we talked about earlier, always want to buy for the larger of the 2 feet. You know, no 2 feet are exactly the same, and you want to make sure that it's going to fit the larger of the 2 feet.
Hey, Doc, what about, we're talking to Dr. Roland Tolliver here today, podiatrist at FHN Dialogue Doc Program. I just got a text message, and you're asking about, are you a fan of Crocs or not?
Actually, Crocs are okay. You know, the Crocs for, they actually make a Croc for patients with diabetes, or people with diabetes as well, that's extra depth. You know, you want a good quality Croc, as we tell people. I mean, the mock Crocs oftentimes are not nearly as good of a quality. And the Crocs have actually been approved by the American Podiatric Medical Association. So, I mean, they're actually fairly decent. I'll be right up front. I own a couple pair myself that I wear around the house. They do make a more solid one that, you know, doesn't have the holes in it if you really, you know, if you need more protection. But the other ones are fine for, you know, for some people, as long as it's, you know, again, anything, as long as they fit properly in that regard and that you're not wearing them, you know, to excess or that you're letting them break down. And because the more the shoes break down, your feet are going to walk in the direction that the shoes are going to go. And, you know, that can lead to, you know, all kinds of things from twisting your ankle to overuse syndrome, such as the plantar fasciitis or, you know, heel spurs.
All right, Doc, great to talk to you. If folks have questions or concerns about their feet, How can they find out more information and get a hold of you?
Different ideas here, but primarily our number at FHN Burchard Hills Podiatry is 815-599-7150. You can always go to www.fhn.org, and hopefully people will take advantage of the Walk with the Doc at Crate Park. And, you know, there are a number of our providers throughout the organization that would be willing to answer any of your health-related questions, not always just about feet, but, you know, in general health, hypertension, you know, blood pressure issues, diabetes, whatever it happens to be, you know, we're here for you.
Great to talk to you. Okay. Talk again soon. All right, Doc.
All right. You take care of yourself, Scott. Okay. Right. Stay cool.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Bye. Dr. Roland Tolliver, podiatrist at FHN, the preceding brought to you by and sponsored by FHN.